Little legs, big impact. Don't let fear or doubt hold you back. Kristen DeAndrade is the embodiment of perseverance and advocacy, relentlessly pushing boundaries to break stereotypes surrounding dwarfism and disability. Born with achondroplasia, the most common form of dwarfism, Kristen channels her lived experiences into changing the narrative around disability and differences. She is the published author of Little Legs, Big Heart, One Girl's Journey of Acceptance, Perseverance, and Growth, a memoir that invites readers to confront the insecurities and vulnerabilities we all face. In 2024, Kristen took a monumental step by founding the Little Legs Big Heart Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to inclusion, community, and support for individuals with skeletal dysplasia and their families. Through the foundation's initiatives like the Little Legs Lifeline Fund, which offers financial assistance for medical treatments, Kristen is creating a lifeline for those navigating life with skeletal dysplasia. Currently residing in West Palm Beach, FL, Kristen is a mover, dancer, and lover of all things creative, especially in the kitchen and by the ocean. An advocate for vulnerability and inclusion, locally Kristen is deeply connected with both the Paley Orthopedic and Spine Institute and the Quantum House, supporting patients and their families. She has also made waves on the TEDx stage and across media outlets such as The Learning Channel, New York Post, Insider, Refinery 29, Women's Health, Huffington Post, The Female Lead, and more. Kristen's mission is clear: to shine a light on adversity, celebrate the power of connection, and inspire others to embrace their scars as stories worth sharing. Can you share some of your most memorable travel experiences? Oh boy, where to even start? There have been so many memorable travel moments. As a kid, our road trips from Massachusetts to our camp in Maine were like the highlight of my life. The second we crossed the New Hampshire-Maine border, I was practically buzzing with excitement. To this day, I still get giddy driving that route or landing at Portland Airport. I did a lot of growing up in Maine, found peace in nature, realized I could actually be athletic on the water and slopes, and Maine became more of a home to me than Massachusetts ever was. College, though, that was a whole different vibe. I was on the rowing team and we did cram as many rowers as humanly possible into my tiny 5-passenger Jeep after practice. One time, I had 14 sweaty rowers in there, yes, 14. And of course, I got pulled over. Somehow, I managed to convince the officer that they were way safer jammed into my car like sardines than trying to walk or bike back downtown. Not my proudest moment, but it worked. Another time, my car broke down in the middle of nowhere, South Carolina, and while we waited for a tow, we used the broken fan belt as a jump rope and pretended to be deer running through the woods. The cops were not impressed, but we laughed so hard. Then there was my first solo flight, just a tiny plane to Colorado. I started feeling nauseous and, of course, my timing was off. I reached for the bag too late, and let's just say it wasn't pretty. I'm still cringing at the thought of it, but at 12 or 13, I don't think I'd ever been that embarrassed in my life. From getting lost in Costa Rica trying to find my hostel to losing my luggage in Portugal, my travels are never without a good story. Bottom line, life is never dull when I'm on the move. Today, I'll jump at any chance to go anywhere. The thrill, the excitement, and the confidence that comes from knowing these little legs can take on anything, it's what makes my heart feel so big. Every adventure, whether smooth or chaotic, just fuels that fire to keep exploring, pushing boundaries, and embracing whatever comes my way. What is one destination you've visited that holds a special place in your heart? Uganda holds an even deeper meaning for me, especially living with achondroplasia. Over there, people view disabilities so differently, it's not seen with pity or awkwardness like it sometimes is here. Instead, there's a quiet acceptance, a simplicity in how they treat everyone, no matter their differences. It gave me such a unique perspective on life with achondroplasia. I was able to connect with people on a human level, not defined by my stature. Living with dwarfism offers me a different lens on the world, and in Uganda, that lens became even clearer. People live with so little, yet their gratitude is immense, and that's something that's stuck with me ever since. It was my first mission trip where I truly found the meaning of gratitude. I realized how far a little can go, and the people they're incredible, especially the kids, who seem to have endless energy. There's something magical about that orange dirt, the simplicity of life, and the lack of technology and constant personal connectivity. This past December, I went back for the first time since 2014, and we finally saw lions. It's truly a different world over there, one that continues to leave a mark on me. Are there any travel destinations that you find particularly accessible? Spain, but one thing that surprised me was traveling to Spain while the country itself is quite accessible. The carry-on overhead bins on Iberia flights are basically made for humans who are 7 feet tall. And let's just say, the flight attendants weren't exactly rushing to help either, at least in my experience. Add in my horrific Spanish and the whole experience was a real treat. Honestly though, it was a bit of a mismatch considering how accessible Spain is overall. And that is really the only issue I have ever come across. Traveling as someone with dwarfism, especially after undergoing limb lengthening, has really shifted my perspective. I've learned that the key is to ask for help when you need it. Where there's a will, there's a way. Every time I board a plane and can comfortably sit with both feet on the floor, I feel a wave of gratitude toward my 12-year-old self for committing to limb lengthening back in the day. It's made a world of difference in how I navigate life. Everything from getting my own luggage overhead, renting a car, or accessing public facilities has become much easier. It's not just about physical height, it's about the confidence and independence that come with it. Traveling now feels more like an adventure than a challenge, and that's something I cherish deeply. What advice would you give to other little people who are hesitant to travel due to accessibility concerns? Here's my heartfelt advice. We, as humans, are capable of so much, especially when we work together. It's completely normal to feel hesitant, but don't let those worries hold you back. Airlines and hotels have become increasingly accessible, and there are more resources than ever to help you navigate the journey. Yes, asking for help can be daunting. I know it was one of the hardest things for me to do for a long time. But you have to push through that discomfort. Life is too short, and the world is filled with incredible experiences waiting for you. Sure, it may take a little more time and effort to navigate some challenges, but the freedom and joy that come from traveling are absolutely worth it. So, take that leap. Reach out, ask for what you need, and embrace every moment. You'll be amazed at the connections you make and the adventures that await. Don't let anything keep you from exploring this beautiful world. Are there any instances where you had to advocate for better accessibility related to travel? One thing that really stands out for me when it comes to travel advocacy is raising awareness about designated handicapped seating on trains, in airports, and beyond. Almost every time I travel, I find myself advocating for someone who is disabled or elderly, standing and waiting while able-bodied individuals take up the handicapped seating or worse, hogging multiple spaces with their bags. I'm not afraid to speak up about it. Being born and raised just outside of Boston, I'm loud and make my point known when needed. It's important for people to understand that these spaces and amenities are not for the general public's convenience. They're essential for those who truly need them. One instance that really stands out in my travel advocacy happened when I saw a woman idling in a handicapped spot in her Tesla, waiting for her friend. I knocked on her window, and she looked confused until I pointed out my two friends on crutches making their way down the sidewalk after we had come around the corner. It was clear that her use of the handicapped spot was impacting them directly. People can often get so caught up in their own little worlds that they're completely unaware of how their actions affect others. This woman initially made excuses, but once she realized I wasn't advocating for myself, but rather for my friends who genuinely needed that spot, she finally moved. It was a powerful moment that reminded me how important it is to speak up, even when it feels uncomfortable. By raising awareness in these situations, we can help foster a greater understanding of accessibility issues and the impact of our choices on those around us. How do you prepare for a trip to ensure it will be as smooth as possible? Preparing for a trip can feel like planning a military operation, except I'm usually the one who waits until the last minute to pack and inevitably forgets something crucial. It's like my personal travel motto, why do today what you can put off until the night before? Spoiler alert, it never ends well. Then there's packing. I might throw everything into my suitcase at the last minute, but I do have a system. I try to roll my clothes, because who doesn't love a good space-saving hack, and pack essentials in an easily accessible pouch. But let's be real, I'll probably just end up wearing the same outfit 3 days in a row anyway. The K.